Thank you, Joy. I like that hymn. Nearer, still nearer. Lord, would you draw us nearer tonight? Let's open tonight's service with number 58 from your hardback hymnal. Number 58, Jesus, the very thought of thee. Let's all stand together. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor
open our Bibles together to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth. That word waiteth is the word to be silent. And that's what we do when we come to worship. We close our mouths and wait on the Lord to speak. Truly my soul is silent upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit put that word greatly in there. How oftentimes we are moved by our troubles and by our sin and by our circumstances. And yet, the Lord will not let us fall. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. What a description of man-centered religion. They consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. The Lord said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. They call Jesus Lord, but then they deny him in their hearts. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than nothing. How do you get lighter than nothing? Well, that's just man, isn't he? Man at his very best states, altogether vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. I'm so thankful that we have one who presents himself on our behalf, and his works are perfect. Perfect. I want us to pray for Angus and Chris and Todd. All those men have asked us to please be in prayer for them as they prepare the messages for the conference. Also, the Wednesday night after the conference, which would be 2 weeks from today, we will not have our regular Wednesday night service. Okay? All right. We will meet next Wednesday night before the conference. Okay. All right, let's pray. Oh, our merciful Heavenly Father, how we pray that you would settle our hearts, calm our spirits, cause us, Lord, to be silent before thee and to wait upon thee, our only rock and our salvation. We're so hopeful, Lord, that you would be pleased in this hour to speak to our hearts. We're hopeful that you would have mercy upon us, and that you would rend the heavens, and that you would come down, that you would make the mystery of the gospel so precious and clear and powerful in our hearts, that you would cause us to be in a spirit of worship this hour. And that you would speak and cause us to find all our hope, all our salvation, all our comfort, all our joy, all our peace in thy dear Son and his finished work of redemption. Father, we do pray for our three dear brothers, for Angus, for Chris, and for Todd. We ask, Lord, that in these days waiting for our meeting, that you would impress upon their hearts the messages that you would have us to hear, and that you would give them liberty and power, that you give us ears to hear, that Christ would be exalted, and that we would be saved. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together again. We'll sing hymn number 326.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Please be seated.
That's been my prayer all day today. The Lord would show us more of his love, more of his grace, and more of his saving power. More about Jesus. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I've titled this message, Are You Overwhelmed? Are you overwhelmed? What do you do when you get overwhelmed? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was overwhelmed on Calvary's cross. And these psalms, first and foremost, must be understood in light of him and what he did. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was overwhelmed, he went to a rock that was higher than himself. He cried out to the very one that was pouring out his wrath on him. And he found his help and his comfort from his Father in the time of being overwhelmed. The Lord in his mercy and grace overwhelms us, doesn't he? He puts us in the midst of circumstances sometimes beyond our ability. And then oftentimes he causes us to see, at least in part, something of our sin. And we come to realize that we are beyond ability, beyond help, beyond our strength to fix the problem that we have between us and God. And in being overwhelmed, he puts it in our hearts to cry unto the rock that is higher than we are. Let's read this psalm once through. It's just 8 verses. And understand it in light of Christ crying out to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's praying to the Father in the garden, Father, if there be any way this cup can pass, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with the burden of this sin, the shame and the guilt, the separation, the bitterness, the wrath, all that I'm experiencing because of the sins of my people. I'm overwhelmed. And yet he cries out to the very one who is causing him so much suffering. It pleased God to bruise him. It was the Father that was pouring out his wrath on his Son. And even while he's doing that, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There's only one rock higher than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the Father. That's who he's crying out, Father, enable me to keep my affection set on thee. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. There was the Lord Jesus' hope that he was going to be received back up into glory for having faithfully accomplished the work that the Father sent him to do, and that he was going to abide in the tabernacle of his Father forever. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. The Lord Jesus Christ entered into a covenant of vows between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father vowing to elect a bride for his Son. The Son vowing to the Father to do everything necessary to redeem them, to justify them, and to establish a righteousness for them that would enable them to enter into the very presence of God. God the Holy Spirit vowing, covenanting with the Father and the Son to make them willing in the day of his power, to open the eyes of their understanding, to cause them to have ears to hear, to bring the new birth to their hearts. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading with his Father, and he's saying, Father, I've made vows. You know I've kept my vows. I've kept all my promises. Verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. I've been faithful to my vows. And so the reward that I'm receiving from my Father for my faithfulness is my heritage, my bride, my people. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 32, and you'll want to keep your finger in that passage because we're going to come back to it in just a moment. But look at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his heritage. That's what he got for having kept his vows. And that's what he's pleading here in this psalm. He's pleading to the Father, I've made vows to you. And my portion, my reward, is Israel. Jacob is my portion. Go back with me to Psalm 61. Now read verse 5 again. For thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations, forever. The word there is generation after generation after generation. There's no end. No end. He shall, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Truth will preserve him. Mercy. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful one, keeping all of his promises and being given for his faithfulness the reward of Israel, Jacob, his heritage, his bride. He cries out in his time of being overwhelmed to a rock that's higher than him. Now we know that this book is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book it is written of me, beginning with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, he expounded unto them those things concerning himself. This book is a book of Christ. And as a book of Christ, it uses many types and pictures to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see in this psalm, the rock here that the Lord is crying out to is his Father. The rock that we cry out to is the rock that's higher than us. And so that in our being overwhelmed, this imagery of a rock is given to us time and time again in the scriptures. There are many types. The Paschal Lamb, of course, is a type that was slain on that Passover night, and the blood of which the Lord passed by the children of Israel and spared them from the death angel. When he saw the blood, he passed by. That's a clear type of Christ carried all the way through the Old Testament. The manna that came down from heaven, the Lord said, Moses didn't give you that manna. My Father gave you that. I am the manna. I'm that sweet as honey manna, the bread of life that came down from heaven that you're to call out and cry for every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't try to live off yesterday's manna. Trust God daily for a fresh supply of bread to sustain your soul. The brazen serpent that Moses put up on a pole. The Lord told him to take a serpent, make it out of brass, put it up on a pole, and whoever looked would live. And that represents the Lord Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, having been stung with the venom of sin. And when we look to him as our sin bearer, as the one who satisfied God's divine justice, we're saved. The burning bush certainly was a type of Christ, wasn't it? And Moses on the backside of the desert found himself in the presence of God, and the bush that was being burned with fire and yet was not consumed. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, being burned with the fiery wrath of God's justice, yet he was not consumed. He was not consumed. The tabernacle certainly is a type of Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, that tabernacle in every way, from the holies of holies all the way out to the one door that entered in, was a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who tabernacled among us. He's the one that we flee to. In the times of being overwhelmed with sin, with our circumstances, with troubles, with fears that are within and troubles that are without, we flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's typified in all of these things. Noah's Ark certainly is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Noah and his family found safety from the flood of God's wrath. And it's interesting that ark rested when the waters began to assuage, that the ark rested on a rock. On a rock. And that's what we have a picture of here. The immutability, the strength. Sometimes this rock, as we're going to see from Deuteronomy 32, is referred to as a flinty rock, a hard rock, a stable rock, a rock of shelter, a rock of strength. And this type of Christ being like a rock. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me. Lead me. Lord, you're going to have to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I don't know how to get there. I'm overwhelmed. When you get overwhelmed, you're just overwhelmed. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Lord, you're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to make me to come to the rock that's higher than I. That's the rock that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to when he told Peter, the confession that you've made just now, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Now Catholics have understood that to be Peter as the rock. The thing about it is, Peter's name translated means little rock. Little rock. You can't build a very big church on a little rock. But the big rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. The stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, the stone that the builders rejected, God has made to become the head of the corner. And the whole church is built upon this rock. Lord, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Do for me what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he fled to you in the midst of his troubles and found you to be sufficient. When the Lord Jesus Christ finished a sermon on the mount in Matthew chapter 7, he said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a man who buildeth his house upon a rock. And when the winds blow and the rain falls and the floods come and beat upon that house, it will not fall, for it's been built upon a rock." You see, the same floods that come against the unbeliever come against the believer. The same rains, the same troubles, same trials. The difference is the foundation of the house. Their house is built on sand, and that house is going to fall. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Listen to my words and believe me, and you'll be like the man who has dug down to the bedrock and built his house upon a rock." When God spoke to Moses there in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, Scripture says that it was at the rock of Mount Horeb. Now, Horeb is another name for Sinai. And Horeb, translated, means desert. And sometimes the Lord overwhelms us by just putting us in a desert. We've got no water. We've got no everything's a mirage. We've got no comfort, no peace. And then God speaks from the mountain of the law, from that rock where the Lord Jesus Christ is seen there speaking to Moses. Later, after Moses went back to Egypt and brought the children of Israel out, he brought them back to Mount Horeb. And then, you remember when Moses asked the Lord at the burning bush, said, "How do I know that this is going to really happen?" And the Lord told Moses, he said, "When you get back here to this mountain, that'll be your sign." You're not going to get a sign until after it's over. And that's the only sign that we have. The sign that we have is after it's over. The Lord doesn't give us a sign before. You know, people talk about Gideon putting out his fleece. Well, that's a picture of Christ. That, you know, the fleece is a lambskin. And Gideon put the lambskin out and said, "Lord, let this lambskin be wet and the rest of the ground around it be dry." And sure enough, Gideon woke up in the morning and it was wet. It was soaking wet. He wrung out a bowl of water out of the lambskin. And Gideon said, "Lord, show me one more time. Give me one more sign." And so he put the lambskin back out and he asked the Lord, "Make the ground around the lambskin wet and the lambskin dry." And so the next morning, all the ground around the lambskin is wet and the lambskin itself is dry. And people say, "Well, you got to put out your fleece and ask God for a sign in order for you to know what you're supposed to do." Now that's Christ. That's the sign's already been done. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that was filled with the Spirit of God and poured himself out on Calvary's cross and suffered the desert of abandonment so that the water of grace and the water of God's word could go out beyond him to the rest of the church. There's the sign. The sign's already been given. We're not looking for a sign. The wicked and perverse generation seeketh after a sign. We have the sign of Jonah, don't we? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's enough. That's enough. Lord, I believe. I believe. And so Moses gets back to Mount Horeb, and the Lord confirms to him that that the Lord is with him. And the people began to die of thirst. I mean, they were in a desert. There was no water. Have you brought us out here to die? We could have died in Egypt. We'd have been better off. And Moses, the Lord points out a rock on Horeb to Moses. It says, take your rod and strike the rock. Now that rod was a rod of justice. It was a rod of justice. And Moses was to strike the rock one time, and he struck it three times. And the Lord chastised him greatly for it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was stricken by the law, the rod of justice, one time. And the Lord tells us that that rock was Christ. And they ate of the same spiritual meat and did drink of the same spiritual drink. They'd all drank from that rock. What an unlikely place for water to come from. Came out of a rock. When stricken by the law of God's justice, the water of life flows from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, lead me. If in being overwhelmed, God's pleased to reveal to us the nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ and cause us. You say, well, what is the means by which God leads me to the rock? Well, it's the preaching of the rock. It's the lifting up of the rock. Isn't that what the Lord said? And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Why do we come together? Why do we preach Christ? Because this is the means by which God causes us to come to the rock that's higher than us. That rock followed them 40 years through the wilderness. That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses cries out to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. So many demonstrations of the glory of God Moses had already experienced, and yet Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God said, well, I'm going to have to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to have to hide you in Christ in order for you to see my glory. For no man can see my face and live. And so Moses is saved from the power of God by being placed in the cleft of a rock. A rock. Lord, lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's the only place to go when you're overwhelmed. People go to a lot of different things. They go to the power of positive thinking when they're overwhelmed. They go to therapy. They go to drugs. They go to whatever to try to calm their fears when they're overwhelmed. And the Lord says, you go where I went. I went to a rock that was higher than me. And I am that rock. You come to me. And I'll make sure that everything between you and the Father is good. Is good. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. This imagery of the rock is given so many times in the scriptures. Look at several times here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse 4. He is the rock. He is the rock. There's only one rock. There's another verse we're going to look at in just a moment where it says, our rock's better than their rock. But their rock's not a rock. Their rock's shifting sand. There's only one rock. There's only one place where you're safe from the wrath of God. Only one safe place. Only one place to stand. There's only one rock that is an everlasting rock. And so Moses says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. That's so simple, isn't it? His work is perfect. What was his work? Well, you could summarize his work by saying that it was to glorify the Father by saving his people. And his work was perfect. Perfect. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the work that the Father sent him to do. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? What is my Father's business? To glorify him. Father, John 17, I have glorified thy name upon the earth. Now glorify me. I've given them your word, and they've kept it. Father, keep them. Keep them. Keep them from the world, that they might see my glory. The Lord Jesus Christ's work was to glorify his Father by redeeming his people. And here Moses says, he is the rock, and his work is perfect. Now, in the truest sense of the word perfect, what man can say that anything is perfect? No. We use that word loosely, don't we? Say, oh, well, that's perfect. But it's not perfect. Not perfect. Far from it. Perfection can only be found in him. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I can't work my way out of it. I can't get myself out of this sin. I can't justify myself before you. I can't change my circumstances. I'm overwhelmed. What am I going to do? Go to the rock. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than me. And cause me to see that his work is perfect. Now look at the rest of verse 4. And all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now the word judgment or justice is honoring and keeping the letter of the law. Honoring and keeping the letter of the law. Now in our justice system, we have I don't remember which amendment it is, but one of them in the Bill of Rights forbids the government from cruel and unusual punishment. In other words, the punishment has to fit the crime. You can't be put to death for a traffic violation. So your crime is measured, your judgment is measured by the severity of the crime in our justice system. Why do you think that the crime that caused all of this problem, all this death, was eating of a piece of fruit? What's God saying? Disobedience and rebellion against God is high treason. Don't think that one crime is less than another crime. For in the day in which you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. You're going to die. That's the penalty. The death penalty. See, men think, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Well, my sin's not as bad as somebody else's sin. And they're making God to be altogether as themselves. They're making God's legal system to be like man's legal system. Well, that would be cruel and unusual punishment for God to send me to hell. Don't I have some bill of rights? Don't I have an amendment that I can present before God to show him that I'm not worthy of hell? That's why all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered the full wrath of God's justice in order to meet the letter of the law. He died in our stead and put away our sin. If God should mark iniquity, and you know what iniquity is. Iniquity is the good stuff we do. If God would judge us by the best thing we've ever done, we're going to hell for it. That's God's justice system. But he meted it out. He satisfied the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness. He suffered the wrath of God, truth, justice, and judgment without iniquity. Without iniquity are his. Why? Because he is the rock and his work is perfect. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with my inabilities. Lead me to the rock that is much higher than I am. Oh, much, much higher. Look at verse 13. Now we looked at verse 9 a few moments ago. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. The reward that God gave, the Father gave the Son, was his bride. And where did the Lord find Jacob? Where did he find his people? He found him in a desert land, verse 10. In the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The Lord found him out there in the wilderness. He was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young and spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead Jacob, him. And there was no strange God with him. Jacob knew that there was one God, one rock. He made him ride on high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Now we just stop right there. That's our experience. And my children are not going to worship another God. They've come to know that there's one God. And they're going to eat oil or honey out of the rock. What is honey? Oh, it's the sweetness of his grace. It's the peace, the comfort, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement of his peace. And where does that honey come from? It comes out of the rock. It comes out of the rock. And then oil, what is oil a picture of in the spirit, in the scriptures? Just picture the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And Aaron, you remember, had oil poured on his head and it went down his beard and dripped off the hem of his garment. And the woman with the issue of blood said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. And what was she doing? She was getting the drips of the Spirit of God that came off the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hem of the garment is the same thing that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, that word train, is the word hem. His train filled the temple. So where did God's people gather? They gather at the hem of his garment, where the oil of gladness drips off of his garment and enables us to look to Christ. That's the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is to fix our eyes and our hope and our attention and our faith on Christ. And out of a flinty rock. Now, I don't know. This It impressed me. I only thing I ever knew about flint was in the Boy Scouts, you take flint and hit it on steel. So I just thought I would read up a little on a flint a little bit. And flint is a quartz, and it's a very, very extremely hard rock. But one of the things I was interested about flint is that oftentimes when flint is formed, it will capture impurities within it. And so what I read about flint was they said, be very careful when you heat it up. Because when you heat it up, some of the impurities that are inside the flint will expand and the rock will actually explode. The fracture will become so violent that pieces of the rock could hurt you. And I thought, well, you know, that's this flinty rock. This is the rock that's higher than us. And the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing in his body the impurities of our sin. And the fire of God's wrath came upon him until the fracture was so violent that he died. And that's where we get the oil from the flinty rock. But Israel did not esteem the rock of their salvation. Now he's talking about Old Testament Israel. Look at verse 15. But Jeshurun, and that's a synonym for Israel in its best state. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, and thou art waxen fat and are grown thick and are covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, to our shame, that's what happens to us, isn't it? Jeshurun, the separated ones, Israel, God's people, when he allows us to have times of waxing fat, no trouble, peace, everything's going well, we have a tendency to forget our God in those times, don't we? We have a tendency to esteem the rock of our salvation lightly in those times, don't we? Whereas when the Lord puts us in a time of trouble, that's when the rock becomes precious to us, of great value to us. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to gods. Now that's what religion is, a sacrifice to devils. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. And that's what sin is. We can apply these to our own lives when we lose sight of and esteem lightly that rock that's higher than us. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Isn't it shameful when things are going really well, how long we can go with very little thoughts about God? Look at verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, and that they would consider their latter end. Well, that'll put everything in perspective, won't it? When we seriously consider our latter end, the reality of death, and our need to be made right with God, that sobers us up, doesn't it? That puts everything right. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight? Why are they so fearful? Why is it that their minds just can't stop imagining the worst things to happen to them? except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. When we lose sight of the rock leaves us to ourselves for a little while. That's when fear grips our heart, isn't it? For their rock is not as our rock. And their rock is not a rock at all. But their rock, little r, is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now, what does that mean? Well, the ones that are worshiping another god, what do they say? What do they say? I'll tell you what they say. They say, my God's hands are tied. My God wants to save everybody, but he's impotent. My God's making an attempt to get everybody to heaven, but, you know, unless man lets him have his way, he can't do it. And of their own testimony, now they won't say it like that, but they say essentially the same thing. And of their own testimony, they confess that their God is not like our God. Our God saves. Our God's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's accomplished. His work is perfect. Their God's not like our God. Lord, lead me to the God that is higher than I. And look at verse 37. And he shall say, where are their gods? Their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and reward them with that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and with my sword shall devour flesh, and with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Our Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts and give us faith to trust you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for so many times we lose sight of our rock. We thank you for the perfect judgment of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. 272. Number 272. Let's stand together.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all